to the aspect of not feeling you're in the right place, not feeling like you are wanted or belong, that you can straight up just feel like you're disassociated and unwelcome in every aspect of where you are. And one of the people that's represented that so much for me has been Kylo Ren, really. And, you know, I remember the first time that I watched The Force Awakens, and I'm like, oh, we've got an emo Vader. And that was like, I called him emo Vader for a hot minute. It's not even meant super negative. It's just, you know, he's emo. And, you know, but some people hated the fact that he was in his feels, that, you know, until you watch like Clone Wars, like the series or stuff like that, you really don't get it. The only emotional aspect you get of who Anakin Skywalker was that he didn't like sand. And there wasn't a lot of depth to him. But then when you get into Clone Wars and stuff, you actually see a little bit more of what his heart was like. That honestly, Kylo and Anakin aren't that different, except Kylo's is a lot more concentrated. But that's one of the things is that I feel that, you know, some people really connect with him passionately. I've got a friend who hashtags everything Kylo is daddy. I mean, it's just like, some people have a lot of different perspectives, but one of the things that shows me a lot about me in Kylo and something that speaks to me is that sometimes you just feel like you've gone too far, like the people that you want to accept you don't accept you, or you get close enough to actually being the person you want to be and something always goes wrong. Anybody ever feel like you're almost there and then it all falls apart? And that's something in me that, like, I'll get to a place in my life where I feel like I'm almost got it, and then I'll, usually by my own self-destruction, do something to damage that. One of the scenes that really spoke to me the most was in, and by the way, has anybody not seen Rise of Skywalker? Okay, I'm going to leave spoilers out of this then.
It's okay.
No, It's not on video yet, and I'm going to be gracious about that. So, like, if it was on DVD or something by now, or Blu-ray, I'd be like, eh. But we'll be nice. But in Force Awakens, the scene with Kylo and Han really hit me so hard. You know, when Kylo is struggling, he's like, I know what I need to do, but I don't have the strength to do it. You know, literally that plays a bunch of different directions in the context of the story. But that, he saw himself as being too broken to come home. If you see the events of The Last Jedi, you know, and saw that, you know, think about how bad it had to feel that your uncle, the one who was like the chosen one of the Force, looks at you and thinks you're worth destroying. Even if it was a moment situation, that he didn't feel like he was welcome home. And especially after the events of The Force Awakens, after what he did to Han, there was no way he could be welcome home. You know, I've not stabbed any relatives with a lightsaber, but I've done some stuff that's made me feel like I'm not welcome home, or that I'm not welcome where I feel like I should be welcome. And honestly, I am a people-pleasing person. If you're Enneagram fan, I'm a hard two. And how people view me and how I connect with people really matters a lot to me. Like, I can have 25... really good book reviews, but if someone gives me a 4-star instead of a 5-star, I'll lose sleep. You know, there I've got one book review where somebody doesn't like my books because I didn't say it. I said I didn't like early Iron Man, and they left a really negative review, and I literally lost sleep over that. And you know, and that's super minor and petty, but there are people that I've genuinely hurt, things that I've really done that have wounded people, and places where I haven't felt like I could go home. And Kylo, and we're gonna go into three different fandoms here, but Kylo kind of represents that to me, the aspect of the modern prodigal son in a lot of ways, in that somebody who knows where he wants to be, but doesn't feel like he's welcome to go there. And Jesus told this story in scripture in Luke 15. This is NIV translation. If you have a preference of choice, you can feel free to turn in a digital aspect or Bible if you have one. But in Luke 15, we see this. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine and the whole country began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And the one statement out of all of that that hit me more than anything, I mean, a lot of that's, you know, a story, but the one phrase that he said there that we hear the son say is, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And I think for a lot of us, we have relationships with people that we have damaged, where we feel like we might not audibly express that, where we feel like, you know, I'm not worthy to be where I'm at in this relationship. But even more so, some of us, we've gotten to a place where we've been distant from God, or we've been separated, or we think we've done too many things where we feel like in our hearts we're no longer worthy to be called son, to be called family, to be called daughter. And when you honestly feel like you're not worthy of love, it's really hard to move forward with anything in life. When you honestly feel like you lose your value because of your actions, it's really hard to feel confident in anything else you do. And that's a hard place to be. And I honestly think a lot of the events that we see in Force Awakens, Last Jedi, even Rise of Skywalker, I think a lot of the events we see is because Kylo felt like he was no longer worthy of love. And if you really break that down, think about the planets that were blown up by Starkiller Base. Think about the lives that were lost. Think about everything that was done in that capacity on such a large scale because someone didn't feel like they were worthy of love or being called son. I'm gonna tell you this, you probably aren't blowing up planets because of your emotional states. Your insecurities probably aren't gonna cost the lives of millions, but it's a hard place to live the life that God wants for you to have if you're living in a state of unworthiness and insecurity because of how you view yourself. And but that's one of the things, even when you think you are in a good place to come back. This son said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer be worthy to call your son.'" His intention wasn't to come back to the family. He's like, "Can I just get close enough so I can have a meal?" And most of us, when we've been separated from God, or even when we've been separated from people that love us, we don't even try to restore the relationship. We're just trying to get relatively close so we can have some semblance of where we've been. Because I'm going to tell you this, church hurt is real. Christians, and again, this is coming from my faith perspective and what I believe and teach, Christians can be some of the meanest people in the world, and they can do some of the most damage, and they can be some of the most unforgiving people in the world, and which obviously makes us terrible at what we say we believe. And it's so hard that when you've been wounded by the people that say they're going to care about you, or maybe it's the flip side. Maybe if you've wounded the people that you say you care about, it's hard to go back. It's really hard to go back and do that. But this servant was so burnt out with everything that he was ready to go there. Skipping fandoms. If you haven't seen Umbrella Academy, it's on Netflix. If you haven't read the comics, it's drastically different than the comic. The show is drastically different than the comics. The comics are like if you watch the show and drink an entire bottle of cough syrup and have a bad dream. It's about how the comics are. The comics are well presented, but it's trippy. Anyway, in the show, without crazy spoilers, the character of Anya, where are you going, kid? Okay, bye. That's my daughter. I'm not asking random strangers where they're going. In the show Umbrella Academy, these two that you see on screen are Luther and Vanya. They're brother and sister. And Vanya, well, sort of brother and sister. They're family. Vanya has drastically hurt their sister to the point of death. Sister didn't die, but she dramatically wounded and hurt her sister. to the point that she could have killed her, and by all rights and means should have killed her. And here's the thing. If you are a grown adult and you are almost manslaughter your sister, you're not likely to walk into your house and be like, my bad. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of hope to walk into a situation where you know you've done wrong and expect grace and forgiveness. And Vanya did that. It was literally, I had to stop the show. It hurt my heart so much because, like, before I knew what was, hadn't read the books, didn't know what was going on, but I could tell by what I saw on screen what was about to happen, and I didn't want to happen, and it hurt my heart so bad. She literally hurt her sister, but brought her sister to be healed, to come back, and she walked into her family seeking grace, seeking forgiveness, and her big brother walked up to her to hug her. But the thing that got me is you could see his face that he wasn't in it for that. That when he grabbed her, what he did was choke her out. Literally, this girl who's heartbroken, who came in repentance, who came seeking grace and forgiveness, literally the one person who had the ability to give her grace and forgiveness hurt her more. And it hurt my heart so bad because, listen, y'all, that is what we do to so many people who have hurt us. And this is what we're afraid of when we go to get forgiveness from other people. We expect to get this from people. And honestly, deep down inside, we're afraid we're going to get this from God. And so we stay away from God because of the fear that we're going to be hurt and wounded, or that we're going to be destroyed when we approach him. And I'm going to tell you this, that's not what family should do. That's not what people of Christianity or faith in general should do. And I'm going to tell you this, I understand if it's hard to move forward with that fear or that insecurity, but don't give up hope, because I really do believe that hopefully all our families won't be like this. There's this scripture, Galatians 6, 1 through 5, that it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Key word, ready? Gently. Gently is that key word. That, hi, come on in. But as we saw in that situation with Luther and Vanya, she was stumbled. She was caught up. She had made mistakes. And she came to her brother to be restored and instead was attacked. Scripture tells us that if someone who is caught in a sin, you should live by the Spirit, should restore that person gently. And if you go into the Greek on this, like, I know some of y'all are more nerdy about this than others. If you go into the Greek, this word sin isn't the same broad term sin that we see in different places, because there are different words for sin throughout Scripture. The Greek word for sin in this context is stumble. That literally goes from a small mistake to the biggest thing you've ever done in your life. So when it's saying you who are caught in sin, it's not saying just for the epic failures, but also the small things. You who are caught in sin should, if you live by the Spirit, you should restore that person gently. I'm going to tell you this, if someone hurts you, or you see someone struggling, you see someone say, it is your responsibility to restore that person gently. And that same Greek word for restore there is what you would use to say to set a broken bone. That you would set a broken bone in that context. Listen, how many of you ever had a broken bone set that was not painful? It's not, you know, if you've broken a bone and a doctor sets it, it is a painful process. But it's not done to wound or hurt. And so we need to restore people gently. But then others, but it says, but watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. This is some cool stuff right here. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Anyone who thinks of themselves as something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Verse 5, check this out. For each one should carry their own load. Now, if you look at this, it almost seems like there's a contradiction in this scene, this one passage, because it starts out in verse 2 saying, carry each other's burdens. And then, but it says in verse 5, everybody needs to carry their own load. Those are two different terms and concepts. That word for burden is stuff that happens to you. situations you're put in. The Greek word is baros. And that straight up says, those are the things that happen to you. That is death. That is emotional damaging. That is like a hurricane. That's the stuff that happens to you. And then the word for load is phortion or phortion, the Greek word for that. And that's the stuff that you have a responsibility to carry. So let's say if you go to work and somebody in your work hurts your heart, your load is the fact you go to work. That's something you have to carry. But the hurt you receive from somebody in your work is a burden that we have a responsibility to carry for others. I can't go to work for you, but I can help carry that.
I was just going to say the easier way to put it is that one is forced on you, the other is something you pick up yourself.
Right. One is forced on you. Thank you. One is forced on you. One is the other one is something you pick up yourself. And that's the deal. Christ calls us, the Bible tells us that we are to carry each other's burdens. And when Vanya, like when we saw in that scripture, Vanya had a burden. She hurt her family. She did those things. Kylo had a burden. He hurt his family. He hurt the flipping universe. He had those burdens and he was carrying around the weight of that. His load was to go seek forgiveness. Her load was to go to be restored. But it's how we receive the people in those situations that make it different. But going on, jumping back to the story of the prodigal we were looking at. So verse 20 says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just stop right there for a second, okay? Look at this situation. This kid had demanded his inheritance ahead of time, wasted it, ruined his family name, abandoned his family, done all these things. And the father ran out to meet him, hugged him, kissed him, and welcomed him in. Now, first of all, it's not like he got like a notification on Facebook, your son is nearby, you know, or you know, that he was like Google mapping to see where he was or checking his destination. The father saw that the son was coming because the father was looking out, waiting for the son to come back. And for us, for Kylo, for Vanya, you know, the situation is with us, God isn't just looking at the stuff you've done, the things you've done wrong, and wishing you're not going to be here. He's literally looking out, waiting for us to come back. And when he ran, he met him, he kissed him, and, you know, notice, the father didn't say anything. There are no words from the father in this passage as of yet. The only thing he did was embrace his wounded son. And I'm going to tell you this, some of us, we have such great advice, and we have so many answers that people that are hurting need, but in reality, they need to be embraced, they need to be loved, and they need to be welcomed, not to get your like full doctrinal advice on why they made a mistake in the first place. You know where you went wrong. They need that less than they need to actually be loved and embraced. And some of us, we're afraid to go back to God because we're afraid of the response we're going to get. But look, this is the response God has for us. Not the condemnation, not the correction, not the rebuke, not the punishment. The response that he has waiting for us is to be wrapped up, to be loved, to be celebrated, to be welcomed. But even in the middle of his father's hugs, even in the middle of his father's kisses, here's his heart. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Literally, the dude's being kissed and hugged by his dad and can't see that the father still values him. Some of us have literally been in the presence of God, been welcomed by God, been received by God, but we're still telling ourselves we're not worthy. We're still telling ourselves he doesn't want us. And I'm going to tell you this, he does. Wherever you've been, whatever you've been through, whatever you've done, however far you've gone, he still is ready to take you back, welcome, open arms, and love you because you're his child. And he goes on to say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but the father said to his servants. Notice, he didn't even address the sons and securities. He didn't even reply to the stuff of him saying, and he's like, hush, Listen, go. We're going to have a party. He didn't even respond to that because he loved him so much. He's like, boy, shut up. It's like, when, you know, this is my daughter. And some of my daughter's questions, I don't bother to answer. I just shoot her a look like, you know better. And I don't answer every question because there are things she should know. And when we are so bound up in our own securities and hurt that we won't go to God, God's not even replying to that because he loves us beyond that. But his response was to the son. He said, quick, bring the best robes and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine that was dead is now alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. Notice, in this whole interaction, the father never even addresses what the son did. The father never even addresses what happened. Going back way back to Kylo, I literally sat in theaters during The Force Awakens and cried, ugly cried, with the Kylo Han situation. Even before the lightsaber came out, just seeing how loving Han was towards Kylo, that was the kind of loving father that he was. That he just said, literally, just think about it. Kylo had just blown up three planets. Hey, dude. And Han still said, come home. Kylo had literally just caused, you know, universal destruction, and Han still said, come home. There wasn't anything that Kylo could have done at that point that would have pushed or persuaded Han not to hug him and take him home. And in the same way, there is nothing you could have done or would do that God would look at you and say, don't come home. We can look at ourselves and think that we've gone too far, we've done too much. And I'm going to tell you this, wherever you at, and maybe it's not you, but if there are people in your life that you know they're afraid to come home or they're afraid to approach you, afraid to deal with that, let them know that they're not. If there are people that are distant in your life because they think they've done wrong, maybe they just need to know that you still love them and that you're still there for them. This is another, literally, I don't say this often, but this moment in television changed my life. This one scene rips me apart every time. So context, this is Clara. She's the doctor's sidekick. Doctor Who, if you don't know what that is, he's a weird guy in a box and he travels through time. He's a time lord, yeah. That doesn't clarify anything for anyone. Nope, still not helping. But so at this point in time, Clara had destroyed, to her understanding, Clara had destroyed the only keys to the TARDIS. She literally, intentionally, had robbed her best friend of everything that his life had been built around. And she did it on purpose because she was hurting. And so, the situation resolved itself. And she's expecting to be cast out of his life forever. She's expecting to be cast out of his life forever. And this is the response to that situation.
Do you think I care for you so little that betraying you would make a difference?
That one line. You know, you literally broke everything in my heart. You broke everything in my life. You betrayed everything I ever stood for. But then he hits her back with, do you think I care for you so little that betraying me would make a difference? And then literally, without going through the context of everything, he literally went to hell and back to help her. In that situation, after everything she had done, she was completely guilty. No excuses. She had done exactly what she thought he had done. She was guilty, and he didn't care. He was ready to accept her and forgive her in that capacity. He was ready to accept, and I'm gonna tell you this, as moving as that is to me, that's just the doctor. That's a fictional character portrayed by a man with angry eyebrows. Attack eyebrows. As great as the doctor's love is for that moment, I'm telling you, it's God's love for you and his acceptance and willingness to forgive you and desire you and help you regardless of what you've been through and what you've done is greater than this. It is greater than this. I was never the same after this. I keep this video on my phone, and like when I'm dealing with people that have hurt me, I watch this and I'm like, okay, Jesus, doctor, got it, let's go. This is my pep talk for forgiveness. This is my pep talk for when I need to ask forgiveness, when people need forgiveness from me. Because listen, most of the people that we need to forgive don't deserve it. Because if they deserved it, they probably wouldn't need forgiveness. Grace is for the people who deserve it the least. And that's what God offers us. So a couple of scriptures I want to leave you with before we wrap up our time here is this. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's straight up, we need to understand. If we act like we've never done anything wrong or to hurt God or that we're completely innocent, we're lying to ourselves. When Clara had that speech with the doctor, when Kylo talked to Han, when Vanya approached Luther, they all knew they were guilty. They all knew they were guilty. So it's not, some of us, we haven't gotten forgiveness for things because we're not willing to admit what we've done wrong. We're not willing to admit there might be fault in our actions. We're not willing to admit that. Let me tell you this, check it out. I love this guarantee, this promise in Scripture. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. Other translations say cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's just straight up saying that the forgiveness we saw in the prodigal son in that situation, the forgiveness we saw in these situations when we talked about in Galatians, it's there that he is not going to hold these things against us. He's welcoming you home and just saying, look, if you come home, it's going to be like it didn't happen. I'm going to love you. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to forgive you. Keep in mind, with the prodigal son, the father in that story never once addressed the issues, never once punished the son, never once argued with him, never once brought up his issues. He loved him, welcomed him home, and celebrated him. And I'm going to tell you this, some of us are sitting here today, or some of us are going to hear this later, and realize that that's how God sees us, that he's just waiting for us to come home. He wants us to have that forgiveness, to have that grace. And one of my favorite verses, 2 Timothy 2:3 says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Some of us, we just straight up think that forgiveness, that being welcomed, that coming to God isn't for us because we really have gone too far. God wants the best for you. And then John 10:10 is literally, I say this all the time, is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus wants you to have the best life possible. But the thing is, we have this really skewed definition of what the best life is. We think that certain acknowledgments, certain accomplishments. I would straight up tell you, I got really depressed a little bit last year because I got to go be a guest at San Diego. I've been doing con life and this stuff for going on 8 years. I got an invite to go to San Diego and for the books and to do a church service at San Diego and everything else. And I'm like, my dream! And I was so excited. And I was like, it happened and I got to go. I've got a professional badge. My first professional badge from a con was from San Diego. I've got the little name tag from San Diego. I was like, my dream's accomplished. Well, guess what? I was no more fulfilled from doing that than I was the day before. I did San Diego and had a church service there. Did GalaxyCon the next week and had almost twice as many people at the church service at GalaxyCon than at San Diego. But I'm going to tell you, none of that mattered because that wasn't my best life. That wasn't the abundant life that God was talking about. The God was talking about when he says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly, have it in full. It's when we can actually be in a good relationship with him, know our worth, know our value, and know that we are welcomed and loved. Accomplishing things that I thought were my life goals didn't make me any happier and didn't bring me any closer to the person that I was made to be. But I know that when I'm in a good place where I know that I'm in a right relationship with God, or that, that God has forgiven me, that God has welcomed me, and God has loved me, that I, that's the abundance life of life for me. That's where that all is. I'm gonna go back just to this of that moment of for me when Vanya approached Luther to receive grace, to receive forgiveness, and instead she was met with betrayal. Three things I just want to leave you with. One, if there are people in your life that you know are afraid to come to you because they've hurt you, be graceful when they come to you. But also don't wait for them. Send them an invitation. Start a conversation, because if you're holding on to unforgiveness or people aren't in your life because you know that there's distance, help bridge that gap, because they could be living in hurt that's literally sucking the life out of them because they're scared to approach you. Second thing is this. If you're distant from God for that exact same reason, know that He is not going to treat you like an abusive parent or a vengeful sibling. He's going to treat you like that father in the story and welcome you home. And He's going to accept you and He's going to love you, because literally that's the whole point of Jesus telling that story, is because He wants us to know we can come home and that He is ready to accept us. But then also in the same token, if you know that there are people in your life that need to get closer to God, but they're scared because they're not afraid of that, they're afraid of who He is, help let them know that they're welcome home. Just, you ever have a family gathering where you won't go to a family gathering unless the one relative is there? Like, your family might be crazy toxic, but if your one cool cousin is there, you'll be okay. Like there are certain things, like, I'm not going to go to my in-laws for Thanksgiving unless my wife is with me. That's just not going to happen because they're scary and dangerous. But that's the thing. You be that bridge for that person. Help do that in that capacity. But I just want to say thank you for being here.